is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Kazakhstan, a vast land in Central Asia with remarkably handsome and ambitious people, but there are not very many of them, I emphasize. A low population density, vast resources, bordered in the north by Russia, bordered in the east by China, bordered in the south by the other stands, especially Uzbekistan, which has nearly twice the population. But Kazakhstan is critical to understand the transformation of Central Asia over the next century. And I'm very pleased to be joined by Kamran Bokhari, Senior Director of Eurasia Security and Prosperity for the New Lines Institute for Strategy and Policy, writing most recently at Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I recommend. Kamran, you're back again from Kazakhstan. You make this a regular journey. You were there twice. This time you were observing elections. They're undergoing a transformation these last years of pandemic. The man who was in charge during the Soviet years, Nazarbayev, has stepped away and been demoted or at least retired by the present Tokayev. Tokayev and Nazarbayev both connect to the Soviet era. Is it making a substantial change in their approach to parliamentary democracy? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. So, yeah, I mean, yes, this is a significant transformation, but a cautious one. Justifiably so, this is a post-Soviet state that doesn't have a whole lot of experience with, transformations from a Soviet-style autocracy to a more democratic polity. So we've seen quite a bit of transformation since last year's uprising in January that turned violent, but it was, quickly subdued within a matter of 10 to 12 days in early January of 2022. And since then, the elite that is ruling Kazakhstan, led by President Tokayev, the successor to former President Nazarbayev, has instituted a large-scale reform project, making changes to about a third of the constitution that was approved in a national referendum last summer. And then there were snap presidential elections in November. And now, on March 20th, it had parliamentary elections, which for the first time saw a new political party enter, a new political party that was formed and it entered parliament, crossing the threshold of the number of votes needed to be able to gain seats in parliament. There were independent candidates. It's a new atmosphere, but it'll take time. It'll require consistency and continuity. But it is something that is significant, and it seems like it's genuine and organic.
I visited Kazakhstan in 2003 under President Nazarbayev. It was very much a conference about tolerance between religions. At the time, that dominated the conversation because of the war on terror. However, it was obvious to me, a new traveler in Central Asia, that this was a Soviet state. Lots of police, lots of checkpoints, a great deal of attention to ceremony and splendor. The Soviet state, we both visited them, or the remains of them now. Has that gone away in Astana? I was in Alma-Ata, the large city to the south. You were in the capital, Astana. Is it still the architecture of the Soviet style, or has it transformed itself?
So Astana has really transformed itself. I had a fair bit amount of time to travel in both elections, presidential and parliamentary, to as many as two dozen polling stations across the city. The city has become very modern. There's new architecture. There's a lot of investment, a lot of construction going on. It's not the old Soviet style city that it used to be. It's an up and coming urban metropolis in Central Asia. As far as security forces are concerned, one of the things that stood out for me was the virtual absence of any security forces near the polling stations. And this is something that even in countries like, you know, South Asian countries like Pakistan and India, you would still see security forces during election time, you know, in order to maintain law and order so that political factions do not fight and do not try to, you know, disrupt the ballot process. But I didn't see any police forces. Now, granted, the turnout wasn't all that great. It was a little over 50%. I didn't see any large lines of people waiting to vote. But it was a steady stream of people trickling in to cast their ballot. The people who we met were very enthusiastic. But I think that there's something of a voter fatigue there because of the transformation going on. Mind you, that since President Tokayev has taken over, it was his election in 2019. Then there were parliamentary elections in 21, then the referendum in 2022. And then again in 2022, we had snap presidential vote, and then early parliamentary elections just, you know, a few weeks ago. So this is like the fifth election in under 4 years. So that could explain, you know, there's a bit of voter fatigue, and the actual sort of dividends of, you know, the transformation of the country towards a more open and democratic form of political system, they haven't really taken place yet. So people are wondering and scratching their head, you know, as to when they'll see the fruits of their labor, if you will. But it's a very well organized election for a country that has not had a whole lot of experience with the with a plebiscite or a national vote.
You mentioned the troubles in January of 22. Almost blocked out entirely to get back to the cause of them by the war in Ukraine. As I recall, there were photographs of large crowds in Astana. There was a building set on fire. It might have been the city hall. Do you see any scars of that incident? And do people still talk about it?
So a lot of that unrest didn't take place in Astana. Now, one of my colleagues who in our group did go to Almaty, where we did experience violence, and there were other places in the western part of the country that were affected as well. So I didn't see any scars whatsoever, but it seemed like normal life. But people did talk about it and how they were forced indoors during those days, during those, you know, 10, 12 days of unrest in the country for fear of being caught up in the violence. But by and large, Astana escaped a lot of it. So much of it, if you were to use the word epicenter, it was Almaty in the southeast.
And then the Russian forces showed up to help with order after the rioting. The Russian forces were available, they deployed, and then they left the country, or have they? Did you see any evidence of Russian forces in Astana?
No, I didn't see any evidence of Russian forces. And in fact, they were in and out, I would say, within a week. And, you know, anybody who understands the deployment of forces knows that it takes, you know, a good day, depending on where they were being transported from. This was in CSTO, the Collective Security Treaty Organization forces. There were some Belarusians, as I recall, some Armenians, but largely the 2,500 troops comprised of Russian soldiers. To my knowledge, they weren't involved in quelling the unrest. They were used to guard major facilities while it was Kazakh security forces that quelled both the violent protests. It was a complicated situation where you had genuine protests that were peaceful, but then those were subverted by elements who were reportedly tied to the old elite, who felt that they were losing power and saw an opportunity in the unrest to try and stage a comeback and create essentially problems from Tokayev. This was while President Nazarbayev was still the chairman of the Security Council, a position that he retained even after handing over executive authority to President Tokayev in 2019. And he essentially was removed from that position by Tokayev in the wake of that unrest. And I remember President Nazarbayev issuing a video statement that's on YouTube for anybody who wants to view it. basically saying, look, I'm retired and I'm no longer, even going to hold on to the position of the chairman of the Security Council that provided him with some oversight over, governance and influence over President Tokayev. So now President Tokayev is, having been reelected for a 7-year term, it seems he's consolidated power and he seems very confident. Otherwise, you wouldn't have, these parliamentary elections allowing for more public participation in the political process. It is limited, but it is to be expected considering the starting point of Kazakhstan and how generally democratic evolution is very, very slow process and by no means linear.
Tokayev was a graduate of Moscow State University. Nazarbayev worked for the Soviets. Is Russian the dominant language to your travels?
Yes, it remains the dominant language. It is still the lingua franca, but you do see a significant use of the Kazakh language. In fact, the Kazakh language was also written in Cyrillic, the Russian script. And now it's being changed. They haven't formally launched it or officially launched it, but they're coming out with a Latin version of the Kazakh language. And the Kazakh language, you see this, in billboards, you could see this in, election material, and the way people are talking. It's mutually intelligible with the Turkish language, with the Uzbek language, and, of course, other Central Asian languages that are all part of the Turkic family of languages. So I think there's a transformation underway. And now, with as many as 80% of all Kazakh citizens being ethnically Kazakh, that's a big transformation underway. 20% of, citizens are still Russian, and that number will remain stable for many years to come. And they are largely concentrated in the north of the country. But they're very integrated into Kazakhstan. I personally, it was fascinating for me to see two different ethnic groups coming to the same ballot box and casting their votes. Yeah, you could, obviously you could tell who's an ethnic Kazakh and who's ethnically Russian. Of course, there's people of mixed heritage. That becomes a bit more complicated. But it's a fascinating social phenomenon.
Kamran Bokhari is Senior Director, Eurasia Security and Prosperity, New Lines Institute for Strategy and Policy. Kazakhstan is landlocked. Therefore, the neighborhood matters profoundly. When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.